Picture with me a simple first century resident just doing some routine evening task in the street outside of his house. The sun is set and the street is dimly lit by the lanterns and candles inside neighborhood houses, along with some other source of off-camera ambient light that we can't see. The man pauses for a moment and you see his head turn from the task at hand. And its head moves, looking down the street, and angles slightly up from his stooped position. And then he rises to stand upright. At this, we cut to an evening scene in the temple, where we see from a distance Jesus talking to a large group of people. We can't hear what he's saying quite yet, but we see hand gestures. And you can visually tell by the look on by looking at his listeners that he's really building to a teaching apex. We cut back to the scene with the man in the street, standing, and the camera swings slowly around the man from a front-on angle to an angle shooting over his shoulder, and just before the angle is enough that we can see what he is looking at, we quickly switch back to the scene with Jesus in the temple. We're closer now, and we can see the expressions on his face. We can see the body language of his listeners. Some are listening, leaning in intently with interest. Others with looks of contemplation. You can see one with his hand resting on his chin in front of his mouth in deep thought. And others are standing with their arms crossed and their eyebrows stiff and rigid in judgment. Then we cut back to the scene of the man in the street, and the camera finishes its slow pan. And we see the screen light up from a distant light that is so very bright. Then we cut to the court of women and we see where this light is coming from. We see a slow pan of four blazing candlestick-like torches, enormous. And as we see this scene in the court of women, we hear Jesus say, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of light," or the light of life. And from that comment, we move from a scene-setting movie sequence straight into the exact conversation that John captured in John chapter 8 of his gospel. See, in John chapter 7, Jesus is talking at the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's made very clear to us in chapter 7. In John chapter 8, the setting is specified. He's in the temple, but not the time of day of when this conversation takes place. There is great probability that this conversation in John chapter 8 was either in the evening, when these four torches would be very visible, or sometime during the feast, which would have been around the time when these four huge torches would have been lit at night. So this image would have been in the mind of his listeners if it were during the day. If he were speaking at night, this image would have been a tremendous connection between the two. It's been said that the light from these torches was so bright that they could be seen all over the city of Jerusalem. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." If we can just see that. "He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees question the validity of Jesus' statement, claiming that Jesus has no other witnesses to this claim. Therefore, without the testimony of others, the claim cannot be trusted. And this launches Jesus into a rebuttal where he discusses his own knowledge of his origin and his future, things that they know nothing about, and how he was sent on a mission from his Father in heaven, and that they are really looking for a testimony, and that they are really looking for a testimony from a witness. If they're really looking for a testimony from a witness, God is his witness. God testifies about Jesus. The Father testifies about Jesus. And the Pharisees asked Jesus, they said, "Where is your Father?" Jesus said, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." And the tension increases, and we have these scriptures up on the board. John chapter 8, verse 21, Then he said to them again, I go away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself. Will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So then they ask, who are you? Jesus tells them he is who he's been saying he was ever since the beginning of his ministry, and that his true nature will be recognized when he is lifted up. This is a reference to him being lifted up, understanding the death on the cross being lifted up there, but also the lifting up of being resurrected and showing the power, revealing the power of God. The truth of Jesus' claims will be proven. He will reveal God, and a secure hope will be offered to all of mankind. Verse 28, so Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. So Jesus continued to teach, saying to those who believed in him, that if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They question, we are Abraham's descendants and are not slaves to anyone. So how can you say that we will be made free if we're not slaves? Jesus replied that anyone who is in sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not live inside the house, but a son does live inside the house. And if the Son makes you free, then you will be free indeed. And so then Jesus talked to those who were in disbelief, and he says, you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're trying to kill me because of my teachings. Teachings that come from my Father. But you are acting on teachings from your father. And they say, well, Abraham is our father. And Jesus says, no, not really. Because if Abraham were your father, then you'd be acting a little bit differently. Now, if God were your father, then you would love me. You would know me because I am from the Father. But you don't understand my teaching because you have a different father. Your father is Satan, who is a murderer and a liar. Wow. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Oh, yeah. Well, you're a Samaritan. That's their comeback. That gives us kind of a little picture of the story of the Good Samaritan, of how they looked at Samaritans. But that's their rebuttal. You're a Samaritan and you have a demon. That's their comeback to Jesus. This gets to the point where they pick up stones to throw at Jesus. But Jesus hides himself and goes out of the temple. And this understanding of hiding himself is really a neat thing. It's meant to lead us to an understanding that it was a miraculous escape. I just kind of see him do kind of a little Bilbo Baggins thing, you know. And just disappear. This month we're talking about outreach. And before we get into some of today's notes on this chapter in John chapter 8... I want us to pick up just one little, it's a big deal, but it's going to be more of an umbrella deal for the whole series. And that is to be reminded as we enter into a series about outreach, that Jesus himself was rejected for the very actions of outreach that we have been asked to do, the very actions of outreach that we're going to be looking at this month. A very simple month, but these are some things that we can do to reach out. Outreach, the act of reaching out. And as we enter into this, we see Jesus reaching out, sharing truth, And we see what happened there. If people fight against him, if they call him names, if they don't believe him, if they're hostile towards him, then as we are out, send the light. We sung that this morning. As we're out taking the gospel, taking the truth, revealing God to people, sharing this hope that we have, don't be discouraged if people are not open. If they don't really seem to care, if they even battle, if they even call you names, it happened to Jesus. So let me encourage you as we open this whole subject, don't be discouraged by that. We still have been called to be different things, to reach out. Today we're talking about being the light. Jesus made this claim that he was the light of the world. So let's look at what this claim means. Jesus as the light, and these are notes, they're in your bulletin, but no blank spots there. I just wanted you guys to be able to take them home with you. It's that Jesus is the light, he's a revelation of God. Jesus said in this passage, he said, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. He also says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you've heard from your, oh, that's the other part of that. So, but his side of it was, I do the things that I've seen my Father do. I teach these things. So he is a revelation of God. Jesus as the light means that he is absolute truth. Jesus said in this passage in chapter 8 that if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, or disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so he is absolute truth. Jesus as the light, talking about that idea of the truth will set you free, he is a secure hope. He is the secure hope. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And that's also right here in chapter 8. Then Jesus, at the very beginning of this conversation, he defines what it looks like. And then throughout the conversation, he's got a couple of other pieces there. He defines what it looks like for a follower. He says, I am the light of the world, right here in the very beginning. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but we'll have the light of life. So followers of Jesus, we need to be reminded of this. They will not walk in darkness. That's what Jesus says. The followers of him, he is the light. His followers will not walk in darkness. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we live differently because we know Jesus, because we follow Jesus. Jesus, the revelation of God, the source of absolute truth, the place where we find secure hope. We follow Jesus, the light of the world, and we have no need to get mixed up in things of darkness. None at all. Sometimes we need a reminder of that as Christians. We don't need to be involved in things that offend God, things that are against his design, things that rebel against his rule, things that go against his holiness. We will not walk in darkness. That's what Jesus says about his followers. Another thing that Jesus says in this dialogue is to those present in the temple that evening, more than likely that evening. So they were saying to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. So this idea, this revelation, he's a revelation of God, then followers of Jesus will know God, because to know Jesus is to know God. He says, if you know me, you'd know my Father. If you knew my Father, you'd know me. We're a package deal. See, Jesus isn't just some great guy. He isn't just some role model that we set up and follow. He's not just a great teacher or some amazing civil servant selflessly helping others. Jesus was God in the flesh. Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up in the humanity of Jesus that he's just a great guy. He had a lot of great teachings. And even for Christians, it's easy for it to fall in that way because God became incarnate. He wanted to become like us. He wanted to become a human, to relate to us, to connect with us, to die for us. But we can't forget that Jesus was God on earth. God who came to earth. That's a big deal. So when Jesus teaches, it isn't just great advice that we should take. His words are our commands, not just as a good teacher to a student, but as a God to a follower. His words are our commands, and they are expectations of how we should live. So when we read the things that Jesus says, his teachings, it's more than good advice. Here's what you do. When we read about how Jesus cared and served, cared for others and served them, this isn't just a great role model for us to look up to and think, well, you know what, that's really nice. If I can do that sometimes, or maybe I can, you know, do that around Christmas. We've got some things going on here that we can participate in. No, Jesus was setting the standard for all of his followers. After he washed the disciples' feet, he said, now you've seen what I've done, you go and do this for others. This is the standard he set for us. It's not just something where it's like, oh, well, this would be nice if you did this. Or, you know, I'm going to do this and I'll just be a great role model and whatever you can pick up from me, that would be great. No, Jesus served and helped people, and this was the expectation he put on his followers. If we're going to walk in the light, if we're going to follow Jesus, then there are things that are expected of us. To know Jesus means to know God. And so when he set the example and he said, you see what I did? You go do it. It's not a suggestion. This is how you are to live. Jesus' followers will themselves be the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about this. We'll be looking at that in a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That's what his followers are. In the same fashion that Jesus was the light. Jesus revealed God. That was part of his nature of being the light. And so we reflect Jesus and we reveal God through our life, through the way we live, through the things we say, through how we treat people. We reveal God. We are a living testimony of the power of God's saving grace and transforming spirit. We are the light of the world. We reveal God. Jesus as the light of the world, he brought absolute truth. And so we as the light of the world, we are advocates of the absolute truth, of God's absolute truth. We can't move from that. We can't have gray lines on the edges. We can't have blurred lines. We believe in truth, absolute truth, and the truth will set us free. As followers of Jesus, if he was the light and part of him being the light was sharing truth, then when he says you are the light of the world, then that's what we ought to do also, to hold on to absolute truth and to hold out absolute truth, to share it. And then to also hold out the hope of salvation in Jesus. When Jesus came as the light of the world, he came to share hope, a secure hope. And so when he says, you are the light of the world, that's what we are to do also. To send the light, to hold out the hope of salvation. So what will keep me from being the light I should be? And here's some blanks in your bulletins to begin filling out and joining me here with this. So what are some things that would keep me from being the light I should be? Knowing about God instead of knowing God. When Jesus says, if you knew the Father, you'd know me, and this claim, this understanding that Jesus is God, what would keep me from being the light that I should be? And that is to reduce Jesus down to a study. To know about Jesus, to know about God. Jesus came for a personal relationship. That's why God became a man. That's why he became a human. To have a personal relationship with us. If all we do in our study is learn more about God, that's not going to help us be the light. Our study, the times when we read the Bible, the times when we're praying, the times when we're listening to God, the times when we're serving, the times when we're worshiping, all of those things, those should be things that should be continuing that connection, that relationship that we have with God. And that connection, that relationship with God is how we are the light. To not just know about him, but to know him, to have a relationship with him. What will keep me from being the light I should be? Walking in darkness. Jesus said, if you are the light of the, or I am the light of the world, my followers will not walk in darkness. So you want to dim your light. You want to make sure that you're not shining as bright as you want to, then walk in darkness. Walking in darkness is no place for a Christian. Some might say, well, we're saved by grace, aren't we? And Paul even talks about this in Romans chapter 5. He says, well, if our sin is this big, then grace is this big. If our sin is this big, then grace is this big. You can't out-sin God's grace. But then as you turn the page into Romans chapter 6, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Walking in darkness will hurt our ability to be the light. Walking in darkness, it interrupts our intimacy with God. If we're going to have a relationship with God, walking in darkness interrupts that. Our ability to be the light of the world comes from Jesus, the light of the world. We have to be plugged into the source to provide light. And when we unplug, what do we expect is going to come from that? How do we expect to unplug from the source and still be the light? You can't do that. Walking in darkness interrupts our intimacy with God, and that's a key part of being the light that he's asked us to be. Walking in darkness affects our relationships with each other. We've seen it. We've seen it in our families. We've seen it in friendships. We've seen it in church. When we walk in darkness, it affects our relationship with each other. They'll know we're Christians by our love. When we're walking in darkness, boy, it's not so easy to love. It's not so easy to appear that way. And that's another piece of this, is that walking in darkness, it hurts our witness. It shows inconsistency in what we say and what we do. We must provide a consistent picture, a consistent image of who we belong to. That we have been made in God's image, but now as Christians, we're being remade into the very image, the likeness of Jesus. I think about, and this is kind of a man illustration, so sorry ladies, but I think about restoring a car. You know, you got an old car and it once was, and then it kind of got all beat up and torn up. My dad had an old Corvette, and he bought it. He bought a 61 Corvette in 75 for like $3,000, which is amazing thinking about that now. And it was his daily car. He just drove it everywhere. And then it sat in our driveway, and he ended up getting another car for more of the, you know, the business trips type stuff. And it just, the paint started chipping, and the tires just kind of started deflating. It looked bad. And so we put a cover over it. So from the shape, you could tell it was a nice car. But when you looked underneath the cover, it's like, whoa, what happened to that poor thing? And then, so eventually he saved up some money and he put into restoring the car. And it looked amazing. He went back to the original color. Unfortunately, the numbers didn't match on the engine, so that kind of dropped some of the value. But because that happened, he just dropped a whole brand new engine in there. So it was all nice and shiny and new. And, you know, that's what's happened to us. You know, we were created in the image of God, and sin and our involvement there, our decisions, our choices, it just messed us up. And sometimes you look underneath that cover and it's pretty ugly. But what God did for us through Jesus, when we were baptized into him and we died to our sin, we came up that brand new car, that brand new, you know, this paint job with just 7 coats of lacquer. You could look in there and see your whole family. Generations before you, the reflection was so amazing. You know, and when we're restored into Jesus, that's what happens for us. And so when that happens, we should be different. We should not be walking in darkness. We should be walking in the light. In Matthew 5, I told you we'd be getting to this today. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. So how can we keep ourselves from being the best light we can be? Well, we can keep our relationship with God a secret from those I come into contact with on a daily basis. What will keep me the light, keep me from being the light I should be? Keeping my relationship with God a secret. Keeping my light underneath a bowl. Taking my light out from or off from the lampstand. That's how we keep ourselves from being the light we should be. Jesus says, here's what you should be doing. Here's the light. Don't put it under a bowl. Don't hide it. Don't keep your relationship with God a secret. That's not how you operate as the light. That's not how you live as the light. That's not outreach. We don't want to be bowl dwellers. You put it up on a stand for everyone to see. It says you're the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So what will keep me from being the light I should be? Failing to serve others habitually with my gifts. That'll keep me from being the light I should be. Failing to serve others with the gifts that I've been given. Jesus says, here's how they're going to see that you're the light. By your good works, by your good deeds, by the good things that you do for other people. They're going to see those and they're going to glorify your Father in heaven. That's how you're the light. So if you want to keep from being the light, then just don't do that. Get into a habit of not doing it. Don't serve people. Jesus is the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He is the revelation of God. He is absolute truth. He is secure hope. And so we, as followers of Jesus, we will not walk in darkness. We will know God, because to know Jesus means to know God, and we ourselves will be the light of the world. Some things we want to avoid if we want to be the light. Avoid just knowing about God. Instead, know God. Avoid walking in the darkness. Instead, walk in the light. Don't keep your relationship with God a secret, hiding it under a basket, under a bowl, but put it up on a lampstand. And be that person. Be the light to everyone you come into contact with on a daily basis. And instead of getting into a habit of not serving others and letting them see the good deeds you have and praise your Father in heaven, flip that around. Do what Jesus told us to do. Do good deeds. Do good things for others. Serve other people and let them see the light through your good deeds. And they will praise your Father in heaven. Living the light.